Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Corpus Hermeticum is a foundational collection of short Greek treatises from late antiquity, traditionally attributed to Hermes Trismegistus, a legendary figure associated with both Hermes and Thoth. Written roughly in the first centuries of the Common Era, the text presents spiritual and philosophical teaching in dialogue form, as a master instructs pupils such as Tat and Asclepius, rather than offering a single systematic doctrine. The collection explores recurring Hermetic themes, the nature of God as the source of all, the ordered cosmos as a living reflection of divine mind, and the human being as a creature capable of awakening through knowledge. It is best approached as religious philosophy, blending Platonic, Stoic, and Egyptian religious elements into a program of inner transformation. The Corpus Hermeticum became especially influential in the Renaissance after being translated into Latin, helping shape Western esoteric traditions and leaving a long afterlife in mysticism, occult philosophy, and the history of ideas. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Hermes Trismegistus and the Hermetic teaching format. A key feature of the Corpus Hermeticum is its instructional framing. The voice of Hermes Trismegistus speaks as a revealer of wisdom, and the treatises commonly unfold as dialogues or discourses directed to named students, including Tat and Asclepius. This format matters because it signals the text's purpose, not abstract speculation alone, but spiritual formation. The student is led from ordinary assumptions toward a new way of seeing reality, often through questioning, correction, and exhortation. The teacher figure also functions as a bridge between cultures. Hermes Trismegistus is not a historical author in the modern sense, but a traditional authority representing a syncretic Hellenistic world where Greek philosophy and Egyptian religious ideas could be combined. Because the corpus is a collection rather than a single work, it can sound varied in emphasis, yet the pedagogical tone unifies it. The reader is invited to take the place of the disciple, receiving a path that moves from ignorance to recognition of a higher order. This helps explain both the text's enduring appeal and their difficulty. They demand contemplation and a willingness to read as an initiate rather than as a consumer of straightforward arguments. Secondly, the nature of the divine, the one, mind, and the good. Across the treatises, the divine is presented as the ultimate source of reality, often described in terms associated with unity, goodness, and intellect. The texts stress that the highest principle is not simply one being among others, but the origin from which all being and order proceed. Hermetic language frequently connects God with mind and with creative reason, so that divine intelligence is not separate from the structure of the world, but expressed through it. This is not a simple personal deity portrait, nor a purely impersonal force. It is a transcendent source that can also be known in a distinctive way. The corpus repeatedly contrasts knowledge with ignorance, suggesting that failure to recognize the divine results in spiritual confusion and moral disorder. Yet it also insists that genuine understanding is transformative, rather than merely conceptual. To know the good is to be reoriented toward it. This theme links the book to late antique philosophical spirituality, where metaphysics and ethics are inseparable. The treatises encourage the reader to move beyond surface appearances and to seek a stable principle behind change, a search framed as both a philosophical ascent and a form of devotion. Thirdly, cosmos as a living order and the role of the Logos. The Corpus Hermeticum treats the cosmos as an ordered whole whose intelligibility reflects its divine source. The world is not portrayed as random or meaningless. It is structured, layered, and pervaded by a rational principle often associated with Logos, meaning divine reason or ordering word. This does not reduce reality to material mechanics. Instead, cosmic order has spiritual significance. The heavens, the movements of nature, and the hierarchy of beings point to a deeper pattern. Many passages emphasize that the universe is a kind of image or manifestation of the divine mind, and that studying it can become a contemplative practice. The Logos theme also clarifies how transcendence and immanence can coexist. The highest principle remains beyond full human grasp, yet its rational imprint is present throughout creation. In this framework, human beings occupy a distinctive position because they can recognize the order and align themselves with it. The treatises therefore combine cosmology with guidance for perception and attention. The reader is urged to see the world not only as a place of change and mortality, but also as a coherent revelation. This cosmic vision later fed Renaissance and early modern esoteric philosophies that linked spiritual insight with a meaningful, symbolically rich universe. Fourthly, human nature, the problem of ignorance, and the call to awakening. A central Hermetic concern is what it means to be human. The Corpus Hermeticum often portrays humanity as suspended between higher and lower realities. On one hand, humans participate in mortal life and are subject to passions, distraction, and forgetfulness. On the other, they possess mind and the capacity for spiritual recognition, which makes them capable of turning toward the divine. The texts repeatedly identify ignorance as the chief illness, not simply lack of information, but a misorientation of the soul. Ignorance produces a life driven by external appearances and appetites, whereas knowledge reawakens the inner faculty that can apprehend the divine order. This is why the treatises read like spiritual instruction. They are meant to provoke an inner shift. The transformation described is sometimes framed as rebirth or regeneration, a movement from merely living to truly understanding. Importantly, this awakening is not presented as automatic. It requires discipline of attention, a willingness to question the ordinary self, and an aspiration toward the good. The result is a new identity grounded in mind, rather than an unstable circumstance. This theme explains why the book remains relevant to readers interested in contemplative traditions. It offers a diagnosis of inner confusion and a program for reorienting the self toward what it claims is most real. Lastly, Gnosis has practiced contemplation, piety, and ethical reformation. The Corpus Hermeticum is often associated with Gnosis, meaning a kind of spiritual knowledge that is experiential and transformative. In these texts, knowledge is not gained merely by argument. It is approached through contemplation, purification of intention, and reverence toward the divine source. The teachings push the reader to consider what sort of life corresponds to truth. Ethical change is therefore not an optional add-on, but part of the path the awakened person is expected to embody a clearer relation to self, others, and the cosmos. While the Corpus is not a manual with step-by-step rituals, it repeatedly urges practices of inner turning, including reflection on the nature of mind, the order of the world, and gratitude toward the divine. The dialogical style reinforces this as a living process, where instruction aims to reshape perception and desire. The texts also show why Hermeticism later appealed to esoteric and mystical readers. It links spiritual ascent with a meaningful universe and with the claim that humans can come to know their source. At the same time, its practical dimension is primarily contemplative and philosophical, demanding slow reading and sustained thought. In that sense, the Corpus offers a discipline of worldview and character, rather than a quick set of techniques. In conclusion, the Corpus Hermeticum rewards readers who want to encounter late antique spiritual philosophy at its roots. It is best suited to students of religion and philosophy, historians of Western esotericism, and serious spiritual readers who can tolerate ambiguity, symbolic language, and a non-systematic presentation. Those approaching it as a purely inspirational text may find it challenging. But those willing to read meditatively can gain a distinctive set of benefits: a clarified picture of Hermetic ideas about God, mind, cosmos, and the human calling, plus a first-hand sense of how knowledge was framed as inner transformation in the Hellenistic world. Intellectually, it helps connect themes across Platonism, Stoic moral psychology, and the religious syncretism of Greco-Egyptian culture. Practically, it invites readers to examine how attention, desire, and self-understanding shape the quality of life, and it argues that ignorance of the divine is the deepest source of disorder. What makes the Corpus Hermeticum stand out among comparable ancient spiritual writings is its fusion of cosmology and spirituality. The world is presented as a rational, meaningful whole, and salvation is cast as awakening to that order through mind and piety. Its Renaissance reception further underscores its importance as a seed text for later esoteric traditions and philosophical imagination. If you would like to support Hermes, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.